Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. My name is Malika Pryor Martin, and I am the Communications and Development Officer at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, standing in for your regular host and NAGB Director Amanda Carlson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move for traveling by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com. You can also go to the app or Play Store and download TuneIn Radio to listen to us. Tonight, if you're just joining us, we have in the studio our education officer at the NAGB, our education officer extraordinaire. I just find that to be like my most favorite adjective these days, extraordinaire. Katrina Cartwright, but I promise I only say it when it's true. And artist, curator, and also educator, instructor for the Mixed Media Art Summer Camp at the NAGB this year, Ms. Jody Menes. So I'm really, really excited. And if you missed the first segment, you missed superstar Far Ali, who was one of our session one campers of the Mixed Media Art Summer Camp. So we talked quite a bit about how the camp came into being with respect to its curriculum and how Katrina in particular worked to fuse and merge Bahamian culture and history in a very, very specific and explicit way to the arts experience that the campers were going to have. So making it truly interdisciplinary in a sense, like, yes, the kids are learning, but it's also camp, right? So we still had fun. There were houses that were named for artists this year. I think it was in
Smith and Roberts.
Yes, so Modern Master Antonius Roberts and Dion Benjamin Smith were the house were the artists for whom the two houses were named. So there were house games, karaoke, if I recall correctly, a couple of days. There were karaoke afternoons. And then, of course, Water Day, which, if Farah was still here, I'm sure she would tell you was the most fun and enjoyable part, second only to art creation, I'm sure.
Right.
as would be the answer of all the campers. Wink, wink. Yes, insert facetiousness there. So it's a camp that is designed to feel like a camp and to be a camp to be extraordinarily fun and engaging. But also, as Katrina mentioned as well at the beginning, that the camp was designed to encourage the development of life skills, because that's one of the values of having these social experiences that also facilitate learning, is that you encounter new people. You're not necessarily going to be with your BFF from school all year. You're going to make new friends. You're going to have to, you know, come across new personalities and new experiences. Yeah. I think one of the beauties of the camp in terms of its redesign in 2015 is that it did become this much more inclusive and representative experience in terms of kids that you see. So kids from Lyford Key and kids from Sierra Walker are coming together and are having an experience for 3 weeks worth of time in a way and in a space and with a degree of intimacy that they might not necessarily interact or intersect on a regular basis, which we think is important. So kids who are living here for a period of time because their parents work here, and kids whose, you know, whose families date back to the Bahamas before the Bahamas was the Bahamas are also, you know, intersecting and having an experience together. And so you get this beautiful mesh, which I think is a reflection of what we have here in New Providence in particular, but not just in New Providence. We had kids from the Family Islands. I think we had about 10 young people representing Grand Bahama, Andrus,
Abaco,
Eleuthera,
Abaco.
Yes, Abaco as well. That's right. So you have, so you see the Family Islands being represented also in the camp, which I think is pretty amazing, because as a national institution, right, it's our responsibility to think about the ways in which we can service and be present and be engaged, not just here in New Providence, but also throughout the islands, because obviously it's over 700 islands in Key. Dozens of, you know, islands that are inhabited. And so how do we then facilitate serving and truly being the national art gallery? Okay, he's like, yes, okay, about 80% of the population is here in New Providence, but that means that
20%.
One-fifth exactly of everybody else is someplace else. And so how do we then continue to be able to serve? So it was really exciting to see. And it certainly wasn't the first year that we had Family Island representation, but to see it continuing to grow was really important. And as a Family Islander, Katrina, I mean, I recall that was definitely one of the conversations that we had, making sure that we were, say, like, holding slots or creating a space more specifically with respect to our scholarships for young people who were coming from Family Islands, because it's difficult.
Yes.
You know, I shared a story, I think it might have been with you, Jody, where one day I was looking at flights and it would have cost $20 more to go to New York.
Yeah.
Then to like, I don't remember where it was, Exuma, Luther, somewhere. Yeah. And I was like, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, to literally go to another country that's, you know, a thousand plus miles away. It costs.
I think it was interesting from an instructor standpoint, seeing the different types of Bahamians, because the definition of a Bahamian is not a linear thing. It's not a set in stone one.
Not a monolithic people.
Right. And when you speak about Bahamian culture in a way, you had the kids start to question their place in Bahamian culture and their Bahamian identity.
Mm.
And I thought that was an interesting thing to merge in that space. It's because it's the National Art Gallery, and art serves as a means for you to think about those things, especially when we went to places like Clifton Heritage, or we talked about slavery and emancipation, or we talked about the Loyalists, or we talked about colonialism and the Lutheran Adventurers. Like, kids really started to ask questions, and I'm like, ask your parents, but, you know, I'm glad that you're thinking in that vein. And sure. You have persons who, like you said, come from totally different backgrounds, but then the common interest and the common point is art. And they don't care, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't care where you live or you come from, your background or whatever. Like, we're painting together and we're having fun, and this is all that matters. And that was beautiful to witness. And
yes.
You had kids who you'd never guess would click, and they were like the best of friends, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm happy that happened. And it was like joyous. And I had, like I said, 9 to 11 year olds, so you had kids who were just coming into their personalities and blossoming and experiencing the fullness of who they are for this short period of time before puberty. And just to see how,
before the fun stuff,
right? Before, just to see how all of their personalities either clashed or they came together, or like how they exuded certain characteristics that they thought wasn't Bahamian. Like, oh, I don't eat peas and rice. And I'm like, but you're still a Bahamian if you don't do that.
Right.
I've never been a Junkanoo, but you're still a Bahamian if you haven't done that. But some people say that, you know, I'm not Bahamian because I talk a certain way. And I was like, you born and raised here. I don't know what other culture you identify with. But I'm like, I don't want to discredit the heritage that your parents may have given you, but you do have access to Bahamian culture as well. And to see them like think about that and grapple with that was very interesting.
So how did that translate for you, Katrina? Because, I mean, obviously you worked to develop the curriculum, but then you were also an instructor. And on the other side of the spectrum, so Jody was
9 to 11,
and the camp itself was for 5 to 18 year olds. I don't think we got any 18 year olds. I think the eldest kid was like 17. But that's quite a broad range. And so one of the challenges and questions that I recall, you know, us having in terms of just figuring out how to best serve that range, you know, was facilitated through the curriculum, obviously, in terms of figuring out how to ensure that we're serving each of those age groups. I think we ended up breaking it out in like four different groups. You served and taught and facilitated for the eldest group, my favorite teenagers. Insert sarcasm there. Go!
So yes, I taught 5 to 18 year olds for the first session. Definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
Because that age group is always a challenge. You know, but there's the other side of that coin is that even though they may be going through, you know, the challenges developmentally, they're, you know, trying to figure out their place, trying to find, kind of create their own space for themselves, figuring out the kind of adults they're going to become. What also ends up happening is if you can get them to engage, you can have really wonderful conversations, and you actually find them questioning more things, right? If you can get them to that point.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I would say I had a really active and curious group of students this time around. I had about two from the Family Islands, one from Andros, and one from Abaco.
Okay. And how did that dynamic work? I mean, in terms of just coming back to those notions of Bahamianness and questions, and I mean, I have come to realize that there are distinctions, right? When you are on a particular family island, I mean, it might be by the part of it is the nature of the work. Some of it might be the actual geography of the islands. You know, sometimes people think about the Bahamas being like this one place, usually Nassau. It's like, no. Actually, it's geographically diverse.
Right.
It's culturally, you know, so how did that sort of play in, especially because they're older and so perhaps maybe had more articulated ideas about what it meant?
They were. I think what I found happening there is that one of them is actually enrolling in CAB right now in the music department, so we're all very proud of him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the other student is said he's going to join the Defense Force. And he's interested in working in communities and using the arts as a tool to help children. So, I mean, hearing two young men have such high aspirations was really heartening, especially in a space where we understand that our young men are, many of them are disenfranchised and don't feel as if they have a place here.
Yes.
So, speaking to two young men who were very serious about their career goals and their contribution to society, that was a really wonderful experience. So, I would say that, I mean, they were two of the older students in the class. But I did find, if I were to talk about the differences, they definitely tended to be a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? I think a lot more accepting of going the extra mile as far as just doing
sort
more
of open to
work.
The challenge.
Yeah. Open to the challenge and being completely fine with, you know, doing extra work here, extra work there. And I think it's just the nature of being on a family island. I mean, I grew up on a family island. The reality is that if you're on a family island, things are not as accessible as they are here in New Providence. So you learn to make do, or you learn to do extra work to get what you want, because that is what you have to do. And I'm not talking about academic. I'm talking about, you know, even something as simple as saying you need to help to change the tire on your car. Your parents help your father change the tire on the car because there is no place around to take your car to change the tire.
Yeah.
You know, that's just family. That's a reality of living on the family. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen here, but there's no convenience, I think, would be the way I would say it. So
certainly not in the same way that you would experience it here.
No, of course. But of course, that's a case-by-case basis. I can't speak for everybody. So I would say I definitely found them to be very keen, very interested in what they're doing, very determined would be it. And there seemed to be a certain higher level of responsibility, because I found that they tended to take on leadership roles in the class, which, again, is a wonderful thing to see.
And one of them returned as a volunteer the following session, which we actually had in a couple of cases.
Yes, yes. Now, the other students who are all from Nassau. Of course, understanding they come from many different backgrounds.
Sure.
There was one student in particular, I remember when he started, he never even spoke. By the end of the camp, we couldn't get him to be quiet. Because he came into a space and he felt safe. I think he felt accepted for who he was. And he felt truly, and he was truly engaged with the subject. With the material, he enjoyed it. He was curious, and he, by the end of the camp, I didn't even recognize him anymore. Yeah. Right, and then we had other students who were experimenting with different works, and students who thought that they weren't artistic at all were able to make work that they felt really proud of at the end of the day, and being able to see that there's more than one way to express yourself creatively was very important. And this was a conversation we had, because I was telling them to use different materials and think about what you would like to do. And I wasn't telling them, well, do things this way. And that was a bit odd for them, because I think they're very much used to being in an environment where they're told
precisely
how to do something. So we were encouraging them to think abstractly, encouraging them to express themselves through their work, to have an opinion, to really begin to think for themselves and to take those ideas and translate them and to go through a process. So the other challenge was that there was no immediate gratification.
And how did that work, right? for young people who I think, especially thanks to technology, right, are very accustomed to that sort of thing.
I actually had a different experience than Katrina with my kids. Like, I just said go crazy and they went crazy. And yeah, it was like they didn't, they're like, okay, Miss Shodi. I said, okay, well, we have to paint canoes, and oh, we had to paint like something else, and they just did it, and they're like, oh, this is what I want to do. I want to do this. I'm going to do this like that. Trust my process. You don't have to lean over my shoulder. I got this.
Right, I got this.
Yeah.
which I mean, perhaps is a sign of where they are also in terms of age, that notion of like academic acculturation. And when we come back, we'll get to talk a little bit more about how art can play a role in education more broadly. Right now, you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Blank Canvas is the show. My name is Malika Pryor, and I'm filling in for Ms. Amanda Carlson. Stay tuned. You can also visit the website, nagv.org.bs. Click the education menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas to listen to archive shows as well. We'll be back momentarily.